Downloading. 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are...
Oh, hello, I'm Stephen Scott.
I'm Sean Preece.
And I'm Lydia Hume.
Hey! Yes, welcome along once again to the technology show that eats the others for breakfast. Just to wind up the other podcasts. Hello, guys. How are you? Sean Preece, how are you this week?
I'm very good, thank you, Stephen Scott. I'm just so happy when Lydia's on. That's nothing against Tim, but, you know, I prefer and like Lydia better.
Oof, you're in trouble. You are in trouble.
I'm joking, Tim. I'm joking.
He'll never come back now, you know. Lydia, Hume, how are you?
Causing problems, apparently, you know.
Yeah, it would appear so, yes.
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, Stephen?
I am. Do you know, thank you for asking. Nobody ever asks how I am.
Oh, I do try.
Yes, I know you do. And you are very trying. Well, listen, thank you for coming on once again. Yes, Sean and Lydia with me this week. Coming up, we have got so much to get through, including emails. Now, we normally put the emails near the end of the show. Today, we're going to start with the emails because we get so many. Our inbox is full of emails.
So good.
And Chris is joining us in just a second to go through some of those. Also, we're going to have some news about the future of Braille. Oh, yes. And lots more of your weekly whines. This has really become a thing.
You've made it a thing.
This is really... I didn't mean it to happen, but I've obviously tapped into the British psyche of moaning and whinging. But you know what? For actually very good reason, because there's lots of things when it comes to accessibility that we have problems with, and we should be talking about them. So that's coming up. And also, we begin a new series of features on Android with our new volunteer, Riz, who is a self-confessed Android anorak. So that's what I've called him, the Android anorak. Do you like that?
Oh, I'm waiting for the jingle. That's what I'm waiting for.
There will be one forthcoming, I promise. So yeah, that's all to come on this week's Tech Talk. Yes, we're here. Right, okay, so lots to get through. And we do want to kick things off with our emails. Oh, yes.
Email, we get email. We get your email every day.
Oh, don't we just.
Ding dong.
Here's your mail today.
And every single week we have our new voice with us, Chris Wallace, of course, from RNIB Connect Radio. Hello.
Hello to you, sir. Thank you for moving me so far forward. I can only presume that's because many of your emails are about how much people are enjoying having me on the show.
We love you, Chris.
Everybody has an ego.
You,
everybody's got an ego now. It's ridiculous. It is like whack-a-mole in here with egos. It really is. Yes, it is great to have you on the show. Do you know, it's funny because I was talking to someone last week and I've been talking on the show a lot about the issues I've been having reading emails. And I was talking to Sheila, who came in from Torch Trust just last week. And she said, stop apologising for it. You can't read them. Get over it. And you know, I kind of thought that was
the point.
Well, yeah, it is, and it's a nice thing to hear, actually, because you do think, well, I feel bad, I should be able to do this, but you know what? I can't, so stuff it. So you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we like Chris.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel very loved in this room.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it won't last long, trust me. A couple of weeks and it'll all change. It always does. Right, so let's get into the emails this week, because we do get so many, and I know that last week, Chris, we had to put a few back, so we're going to start with them.
Absolutely, and our first one's from Rachel, who says, hello there, team. I hope everyone is well. I just wanted to share my positive feedback for an iOS app I've just started playing around with, FlickType. I believe at one stage this used to be known as Flexi, but I never actually used that one myself. As I write this email, I'm using my iPhone's inbuilt keyboard, as I'm still getting used to FlickType, but already I am able to type significantly quicker with it than I do with the iPhone keyboard. In summary, once you launch the app, you simply perform a single one finger tap on the screen where you think the letter is. You don't need to be accurate. Then swipe right to produce a space. Write a second time to produce punctuation, and left to delete words one at a time. You can then export text to other apps in order to send text messages, emails, and so on. The app is very responsive. I'm using iOS 11.3 on an iPhone SE, and very accurate. I rely solely on VoiceOver and would recommend it to anyone to give it a whirl if you're looking for a quicker way to type and don't want to carry extra equipment such as Bluetooth keyboards with you everywhere you go. What's more, it's free to download at the moment. I hope this helps. Fantastic show, as always, and a lovely smiley face from Rachel.
Aw, that's nice.
Thank you, Rachel.
I got to jump in on this one, Stephen.
Do you mind? Go for it.
I couldn't agree more. FlickType is amazing. I've been using it for a while now, and okay, the story behind FlickType, you're going to have to time me on this one, Stephen. If I start rambling on, stop me.
Okay, right? Stop.
Now.
I knew you were going to do that joke. Anyway, okay, so if you've been around in the various websites and forums for a few years, you would have known that Flexi was released 4 or 5 years ago. When it first started, it was exactly what FlickType is now. In fact, it's the same code. The code for the program is open source, and it works amazingly well. Then Flexi was bought by a mainstream company, and it was terrible when it was released. It just, the visually impaired aspect of it just got left behind. And it was really disappointing because it started in the visually impaired community. It was for the visually impaired community. And I mean, I actually bought it when it first came out for, I don't know, £10, £20, whatever it was, to help it in development. And when it became inaccessible and went all mainstream, it was really disappointing. But the developers behind it, this is the same developer that's brought out FlickType, and he has apologized for that. He said mistakes were made, but now he really wants our feedback on this app, and it just works amazingly well. And we've got some input into its development. So I couldn't agree more, Rachel. It works just... I feel like I can type, you know, with two thumbs, like the youth do.
Like the youth. My only thing about this is I'm confused by it. I thought this was a keyboard, but it's not. It's an app that you type into, and then you copy the text from into, say, a message or an email or whatever. Is that right? Have I got that right?
That's right, yeah. So it's a standalone app, and when you start it up, it is just an on-screen keyboard at the bottom where you'd expect it to be, like the standard iOS one. As Rachel said, she did a perfect description. You don't have to look at the keys. You don't have to hit the keys accurately. You just generally where you think they would be. And it just guesses what you're trying to type. And the guesses are so amazingly accurate. It just, you can type away really fast.
Is it easier to use it for just like longer messages? Or is it, it sounds like it could be a bit of a hassle if you just want to do a quick message to type it, then to copy it, paste it, put it in the
right
message.
That's exactly right. Yeah, if you want to write a longer email, you know, it's not really for a quick conversation through iMessage.
Yeah.
If you want to type a proper email, then it's great for that. But the developer have stated that the next few updates, they will introduce it as a system keyboard. So it will be available in any other app on the system.
Yeah, that appeals to me a lot. I mean, the idea of that, I think it's a really, it sounds brilliant, but I think the idea of typing on a message, if I wanted to type a message to you, Sean, like, stop bothering me, and I type it in there, and then I've got to copy it out of that into the iMessage, that, you know, I'm a lazy person. I don't want to do that. I just want to type it into the
message. I'm the same. I love the app and it works amazingly well, but I forget. By the time I've remembered that it's there, I can use that instead of just replying to the message.
Yeah.
So that is the key to it, I think. Once it's available as a system keyboard, and as long as it works as well as it does now, it's a game changer. It's that impressive.
I have to say, I've never heard Sean so excited, Lydia. I'm just blown away.
I know, I'm gobsmacked. He's so thrilled, isn't he?
Try it. That's all I'm saying. Try it out.
He's like a little child at Christmas. Okay, well, that does sound quite good. Right now, we've got an email in from Dave, Chris. This one, first time guy getting in contact.
Absolutely, and he starts off by saying, "Hi all, I've been a long time listener of your podcast and it soon became one of my favourites, as I'm also visually impaired tech nerd. I've never really had a reason to email in until I listened to one of your recent episodes where somebody commended Apple for their customer services. Then last week, when Apple did something great for me, I thought I could also share this with you. Last week, I bought a Series 3 Apple Watch, mainly to track my fitness, but also because I've recently been matched with a guide dog, and using the watch instead of my iPhone will be easier when working my dog. Just 2 days after buying it, I excitedly travelled back to my hometown, Nottingham, as I play for Great Britain Goalball, and we had a fitness day there, and I could really see what the watch was capable of. While walking from the tram stop to pop in and visit my mum, I walked straight into a car that was parked mostly on the path in a dark spot due to no lampposts being close by. This sent me flying into a wall and I smashed my Apple Watch into 1,000 pieces. I contacted Apple to ask about repairs and they told me that it's so badly damaged it most likely needs replacing for around £330 and booked me an appointment at my closest store. Once I got back to Bristol, I took it into the Apple store for my appointment. As soon as I walked into the door, a sales assistant greeted me asking if I was Dave and asked me to immediately go upstairs to the Genius Bar. Once there, I met with a genius called Toby who said he would deal with my case today and asked me if I was okay from my fall and asked if I'm a voiceover or Zoom user on Apple Watch while he was looking at my damaged watch. Toby then read my case notes. He then asked me to give him 2 minutes while he spoke to his senior advisor. Once he came back, he told me that because of the circumstances, the fact that I broke my watch due to an inconsiderate person parking across the pavement, etc., and while Apple have absolutely no legal obligation to do so, they would like to replace my Apple Watch with a brand new one, completely free of charge, as a goodwill gesture. After we completed the paperwork for the replacement, Toby then took a look at my own Apple products on file and went through each item with me to double check that I know how to use accessibility on all of them, offering me free training with any of my equipment. While I was completely up to speed on all of this, this was absolutely incredible customer service from Apple. Thank you so much for a great podcast. I often tell all of my teammates and other visually impaired people to give you a listen. Brilliant one there from Dave.
Oh, wow.
It just goes to show, you know, I mean, brilliant customer service. And, you know, I want to actually hear more stories like this. If you've had a similar experience in a store, and it's, you know, it doesn't have to be the Apple store, but it does seem to come up a lot. But, you know, it doesn't have to be the Apple store. But, you know, if you have great customer service, I'd love to hear about it. I mean, guys, this is what it's all about, isn't it? You know, going above and beyond. And not only that, just making sure that the customer is aware of all the functions available. I mean, would you get that with anyone else? I mean, I'm thinking about computers and phones. It's incredible.
No, I don't think so. The customer service in this instance was amazing. As they rightfully said, they've got no legal obligation on this at all. But because of the circumstances, and I feel your pain there, how many times have I done the same thing, just winged off a pavement-parked car? It's terrible. Well done to Bristol Apple Store and Toby.
Yeah.
What more can you say?
Absolutely fantastic. Everything's going to be amazing for Dave. Once he's got his Apple Watch, I'm looking into buying one for navigation with my guide dog. And once he's got that, not only will he have this excellent navigation tool with this fantastic customer support, but he'll be able to make sure he's able to get around more easily. And hopefully the issue of bumping into pavement parked cars won't be a thing for him anymore. So
yeah,
it's going to be amazing.
Unfortunately, though, the Apple Watch is great for many things, but detecting upcoming parked cars is not something it's good at the moment.
No.
You know,
but his dog will be.
But his dog will be, yeah, yeah, which is exactly why you need both. It's interesting, isn't it, all this technology, but the basic stuff like a guide dog or a white cane, you really still need this time, right? The technology is good, but it can't take you from place to place in that way.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to another email. Thank you, Dave, for getting in touch, and I'm really glad you did. And thank you for telling everybody about us. We appreciate that. Rebecca Skipper's also been on, Chris.
Absolutely, and this is her second email because she thanks us by saying, first, thanks for sharing my complaints about Star Trek Discovery and a lack of official audio description support. I'm hoping that I can enjoy more audio description in the future on the new iPhone SE if it comes with an earphone jack. Aren't manufacturers wasting time and resources by touting waterproof phones? Accidents can happen, but a smartphone is an investment. I'd rather see more stability in iOS and functional hardware that just works. And that one's from Rebecca Skipper.
Okay. Sean, we're seeing a lot of interesting reports coming out about the iPhone SE, this new one. And one of the rumours that's kicking around is that it won't have a headphone jack this time round.
No, sadly, that is the way it's going. Now, I don't know if that's primarily down to waterproofing. I mean, it is definitely a factor. But they are trying to go, everything is wireless, you know, charging, wireless charging and headphones. So it is the direction that this technology is heading. Now, I do think that we've jumped on to, well, not us, Apple have probably jumped on too soon. But I think this is where we're going to end up. Everything is going to be wireless.
Yeah, but they're all doing it. Yeah, they're all doing it now.
Well, whatever Apple does, everyone else follows, don't they? You know, yeah. They are the market leaders, so everyone's going to do what they do. And I think most of the time they can get away with it. But with this, there is problems. You know, we're using the Lightning port as well for the headphone jack and dongles and charging as well as listening at the same time. These are all issues I don't think they've sorted out properly. So, yeah, I do agree. It is annoying, but I think that's the way everything is going to go.
Yeah. Well, we all know how much I absolutely hate not having a headphone jack on my phone. It's just one of those things that constantly frustrates me. I just want to be able to listen to stuff and charge my phone, and I don't want to have to use wireless headphones because Bluetooth isn't very smooth.
Oh, come on.
Oh, it's not.
It is.
Oh, hang on. Stephen's standing up for Bluetooth. I'm going to be it. Go on then, Stephen. Let's hear it.
I got my Apple AirPods. All right, they don't sound the greatest in the world, but they work fine. And I've got my Bose QC35
Mark II. Do they stay in all right, your AirPods?
Yeah, well, I don't tend to sit on a washing machine Staples. When I'm listening to things. So my head doesn't tend to move around very often.
That's what you say.
Yeah.
Well, no, yeah, but you've been complaining about not being able to pair them with your Apple Watch and your iPhone at the same time, switching the audio streams between them. The technology, although it's great, it's not where we could use it universally yet. And I just think we've jumped on too soon. Apple. I've got to stop saying we. Apple.
Yeah, I know. You make it sound like we build all this stuff. We don't. Don't start that rumour. We get into
sorry, everyone. We'll build it better next time.
Yeah, yeah. Once we get to the next iPhone. Well, listen, we're doing the show. What else can we do? No, I have tried my Bose QC35 Mark II, which is stunning. Ooh. A stunning pair of wireless headphones. The kind of big, what would you call them, over-ear headphones.
Yeah.
And they are absolutely fantastic. But they, and I noticed this morning for the very first time, I noticed that you can bounce between different devices. It will connect to multiple devices and connect to each one as you require it. So say, for example, I'm on my iPhone, and this is how I've set it up now because I did this today. I've set them up so that it's connected to my iPhone and my Apple Watch. And what that means is that if, for example, I'm listening to a song on my phone, I can actually control it using my Apple Watch, but I can hear what the watch is saying through those headphones at the same time. That is what Apple should have done. And had they done that and got that right, well, those AirPods would have been amazing.
Yeah. You're right.
Totally. That's exactly how it should work. And I was so surprised when you told me that's not how it works. Because I would just assume that just makes sense. And, you know,
I agree. I'm a consumer that would go into that purchase thinking that's how Apple's designed this thing that goes with Apple devices. So surely it will work because that's what Apple are all about. But I'm not going to buy some Bose headphones, am I? Like, I just want the right thing that works with the phone I've bought or with the iPad I've bought. Because I'm grumpy.
Yeah, like Bose headphones. Yeah, and cheap, clearly. Right, moving on. Simon's emailed in, Chris.
Yes, and this is my favourite of the week, so I'll try and do it justice. Hi, Steve and the gang. I am setting up an Amazon Fire TV stick using an HDMI audio extractor. You aired a piece of audio that described how to do this. Excellent. It was called Watching TV Without a TV. I then listened to your brilliant step-by-step guide to setting up the Fire TV stick itself. Exceptional. I got Netflix downloaded and working in minutes. Fantastic. I did this with no vision whatsoever, but how do you get the BBC iPlayer, ITV Hub, and all four to work? They are a nightmare. In for a penny, how do you copy audio to an iPad? I care nothing for artist or genre information. I just want to copy my audio to my iPad. Point the iPad in the direction of a folder and say, play it. Can you help? Keep up the brilliant work. Many thanks and best wishes from Simon.
Wow. Well, thank you, Simon. Great email. And thank you for the comments, and we appreciate those. Just to sort of start on the first one, and I know Sean is all over this with the BBC iPlayer and the All Four. I can sense the tension right now.
I'm definitely tense, but I won't tell you why. Yeah. We'll see.
Right, okay. So basically, I think the answer to this is you really just can't access those, can you?
Yes. Now, I must admit, I haven't looked at these recently, so there were issues. The BBC iPlayer, I thought, was working at one point.
It's a bit hit and miss, from my experience. You get that web view thing that always comes
exactly.
up. Exactly. Which basically, you probably noticed this, Simon, you get when you go into the app, you'll start hearing web view, web view, web view. And what it's doing is it's showing you some kind of what it would see as a browser, with the layout of iPlayer and whatever, but it just can't seem to get to the content. But you're right, there have been times where I've managed to get in there, but the other ones, no.
There are two different modes on voice view. One's called review, I think. Now, if you hold down, I'm not going to remember what the button is, but if you hold down, there's a row of buttons underneath the directional buttons, you know, the circle directional buttons. There's a row of three buttons underneath that. Now, the far right button, if you hold that down, it changes the mode for voice view. And sometimes that can help. But I don't know if that's the case with these apps. But you're absolutely right. These apps, they just have problems with accessibility. And that is one of the annoying things I found with it as well. Netflix works great. The other ones, not so good. Maybe our listeners have got better advice than that.
Well, I don't know where else you go with that one, to be honest. I mean, that seems to be the experience of most people I've spoken to. I mean, again, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, if I'm wrong. I usually am. Lydia, have you tried this out? Have you tried the Fire Stick?
No, I haven't. I haven't got a TV, and which obviously you don't
need.
Hang
on, haven't got a television?
No.
She's too cultured. You know that. Posh people don't have TV, Stephen.
No, I thought she just sat and watched BBC Four all day. Well, when it's on, obviously.
No, I haven't got a TV.
Well, I'm shocked and amazed.
I don't know what to do with that. So what do you do for fun?
I don't have fun.
Opera.
I just right, okay, I just live that, in right, a okay. dark pit of sorrow. No, I've got my iPad. Got my iPad Pro. I live alone. I don't need to share it with anyone.
Okay.
I use my apps. VoiceOver works with them. Zoom works with them on the iPad. I just, you know.
I tell you something. The future Mr. Hume is going to be a happy guy.
That sounded so depressing then. Let's move on. With getting audio onto your iPad or iPhone or iOS device, again, you're getting me tense with these ones, Simon, because that is tricky. I haven't used iTunes in years because just a nightmare. Yeah, all the music I listen to is streaming, Spotify.
Yeah, same with
me. Exactly. Amazon Music, Apple Music. But the only thing I can think of, and there will be other apps out there, and I'm sure we'll get emails about this. I have used Dropbox in the past. You know, I'll have a folder on my Dropbox with all my music in. Open the Dropbox app, and it will just play them all. There's also an app called File Browser. Does the same thing. It's really good. But you do need an internet connection. It's not exactly, I think, what you're looking for, but I'm sure there will be something out there.
Well, I might have an answer to this one.
Oh, okay.
My wife was going on holiday about a month ago, and she wanted to take with her a bunch of audiobooks and things that she had on computer. She wanted to transfer them. She would normally transfer them to something like a Victor Reader Stream, but she had videos, and she wanted to put them on as well. And we were trying to think of a way of doing it because the problem, as you know, is trying to get the content onto the iPad without using iTunes. And like you say, there are ways of doing it, but it's a bit messy. So I was actually in one of the large computer stores that sells PCs and it has a world full of them. And in the store, they had a clearance section, which is where you'll always find me. And I was standing there and mucking around with it and looking at all this different stuff. And the one thing I found was a SanDisk wireless stick. And I thought, oh, what's this? And it's essentially a USB stick. You plug it into your computer and you can transfer loads of files onto it. And then you take the wireless stick out. I mean, after you've set it up, obviously, you take the wireless stick out, you open an app up on your phone, and you have access to all the content on that stick.
Wow.
Good point. Yeah, I did forget about that. There's a few different makes of those as well. It's just knowing if
that's
the app that goes with it is accessible.
Well, the SanDisk one is. The SanDisk is called SanDisk Connect, if you're looking it up. No relation to RNIB Connect. It's the SanDisk Connect wireless stick network drive. Very small. It's tiny. It's like a pack of chewing gum in terms of a size. And you can stick it in your pocket. You can take it anywhere because you can connect to it even if you're outside of a Wi-Fi zone. Essentially what happens is that the stick itself creates its own network that you connect to, whether you're on a plane, and literally, I mean, she was listening to stuff on the plane, on a train, somewhere else, out of Mongolia, wherever you end up and you want to listen to something or watch something, you can do it with that stick. So that might be an answer. I don't know. But that might be something to look at. The one I got was cheapy cheap because it was being sold off in that big world of PCs. But you can get it, I think, about 50 quid, 60 quid, something like that.
Is that cheap?
Well, no, I didn't pay that. I'm saying what I paid was cheap. I paid half that. But, other people will have to pay the full price. So there you go. But yeah, I would certainly give that a try. So, you know, see, let us know what you think, Simon, if that maybe works for you. He'll probably tell me where to go with that one. Gordon's also been in touch. Chris Gordon's has emailed in.
Dear Tech Talk team, I have tried quite a few apps which read text, but have never found one which did a satisfactory job. TapTapC was sometimes useful but very slow to respond after taking a photo and often required several photos to get the right details. I tried Prismo for reading letters, but it's not a very accessible app and required a lot of faffing around. The results were, at best, patchy. With Seeing AI, I hoped I had found the solution, but I seem to be one of those who experiences problems getting it to read things. Sometimes the short text will do a good job, other times it reads random selections of words in a very strange order, and I have never been able to get the document reader in Seeing AI to work properly. It never seems to capture the whole letter and often reads out only a few words. So I'm delighted to report that the ID app, that's spelled E-Y-E-D app, seems to be the best solution. It has GPS built in and has options to locate the nearest shop, hospital, ATM, etc. But its main use for me is reading text. Like TapTapC, it has a scene preview, which is faster and better than TapTapC, but its text reading is much better than any of the other apps, as well as being faster to respond than TapTapC and Prismo. It is very easy to use, requiring a simple double tap on the screen or even using the volume controls on the iPhone. Results are announced within a few seconds, and even reading a full page of text gives very good results. It's not always perfect, but it is much better than any other app I've tried. So while I will continue to use Seeing AI for quick checks of short bits of text or seeing what is on my computer screen when it goes silent on me, ID is now my default app when I want to read letters. And for Stephen's benefit, it's free. All the best from Gordon.
Gordon knows you, Stephen.
We like Gordon.
Gordon's got it bang on. My favourite price. That sounds really good. I've never tried this one, but I have heard of it. I know we've talked about it on RNIB Connect Radio, Chris. It's been mentioned on some of the shows, actually. We haven't talked about it here yet, so thank you for bringing it up, Gordon. Any of you tried this?
I've had exactly the same problem as Gordon in terms of seeing AI. I could not manage to get it to do anything at all for me. I don't know what I'm doing wrong and why it hates me, but someone else will take it. It will work straight away. However, the ID app, and it is EYE, and then if you're looking for it, if you're typing it in, it's EYE hyphen D. So otherwise it might not come up on the search. Does tend to be, and once again for text, and especially like small print letters, if people have got any residual vision and want to use something every now and again, small print letters, you can do the whole thing in one go. There's no faffing around with it at all. It's really smooth and easy to use. It works brilliantly with VoiceOver. It's got a really friendly user interface. And yep, you can just ask it things or tap things on it, like where am I, and or read this. And yeah, it's, in my experience, 100 times better than seeing AI for things like reading.
Wow, there's a positive review.
Yeah, and that's only me, and other people can make seeing AI work. However, as I've said before, it did tell me my guide dog was a wine cellar, so...
Yeah.
Like, it's a great example of, you know, whatever app works for you. Some people have great results with seeing AI, some people don't. So if it works for you, ID does sound good. I looked at it, I think, last year on Android, but it seemed to me more than about the GPS, what's around me, my location.
Yeah.
So I will definitely check it out. It's a nice little app by the sounds of it.
I am downloading that right after this program. That sounds absolutely brilliant.
Well, there you are. Yeah. Look at that.
It's free.
Yeah, because it's free.
It is free. Yeah. It is free. So even if it doesn't work for you, you've got nothing to lose. That's the joy of it.
Exactly. Exactly. No, that's a great recommendation. Thank you so much for that, Gordon. Gordon also emailed in just after that, but I have gone back to him and said we're going to hold his next email back to next week. Because it's all about audio description.
Suspense.
Yeah, it's all about audio description and more problems that people are having with AD. It's beyond belief. Beyond belief. Right, anyway, we'll get to that next week. But we got another email in, and this is us up to date with the inbox, which is fantastic. And this is from Kelly.
Yes, and Kelly has the final email of the day, and I must warn you, Stephen, it has a little wine in it, so
get hang on. I'll get the bottle.
Get your jingle
get
ready.
Get the bottle ready.
Hang on. Who said it was a jingle? Got a real ball here.
It's got more lined up.
Okay, to Kelly's email. Hi, gang. Thanks for introducing me to the A-Lady and Amazon Echo. I've just bought her. After hearing so much about her and what she can do to assist me, I had to have her. For the price of £89.95, I thought it was good value for money. I really do like the quality. No problems in setting it up on my iPhone and desktop. I have now got an Orcam My Reader. As mentioned in my last email, I don't like whipping my iPhone out in public. You just don't know if someone swipes it and pinches it from you. I know there are free apps you can put on your iPhone to read menus and so on, but I found with the Orcam, it's so much quicker and easier. I feel a lot safer using the Orcam in restaurants than I do my iPhone. Yes, it is expensive, but it is better to be safe than vulnerable. In time, the price will go down, and I think the Orcam will end up being extremely popular, like the Trekker Breeze. But before I go, I have a little wine.
Hey.
Right, go on then.
This
wine, Kelly.
This glass of wine is specifically for Tim.
Oh.
What is happening to Tim's Life After Blindness podcast? The last time I looked was yesterday on In Your Pocket and Tim's website. The last podcast was about February time. Has he given up? Take care. All the best from Kelly Muggeridge of Loxwood in West Sussex. Tim, we require answers.
Yeah, Tim, we do require answers. Well, I mean, you know, I suppose there's two ways to look at this. It's not our podcast. We don't know. You know, so I don't know. But, you know, Tim has been spending so much time with us. I think we've maybe kept him back a bit from his own podcast, which, you know, as far as I'm concerned, is fine. So, I'm sure Tim is back next week, so I'm sure he'll have answers to that one, Kelly. But, no, I think, you know, first of all, I'm glad you got an Amazon Echo. I think one of the things I love about it is that you get so much enjoyment out of going through the different skills and trying them out, realising they don't work very well, and moving on to the next one. You know, because there are so many that just don't work that well. But and it's only the humorous ones I tend to enjoy most. But yeah, that's quite good. As for the Orcam My Reader, someone said something interesting to me this week. They said, a lot of people make this comment that they don't want to whip their phone out in public because someone will whip the phone. I get that, but I guess I always think, well, I think I'd rather they whip my £600 iPhone and I can claim it on the insurance and get a new one, as opposed to my £2,500 or £3,500 camera attached to my glasses. So I don't know where I stand on that one. I think that, you know, it's a choice, and I think it depends how it works for you.
I'm so glad you brought up that pulling out your iPhone in public, because Yeah, I hear a lot of people say that. And of course, you've got to be sort of aware of your surroundings and things.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think it happens every day. I think we are a little bit overly sensitive to that. In relationship to the Orcam interview with Ian White, I've been a little bit dismissive of the Orcam, the first generation and 1.5 in the past. But I've got to say, with the latest version, version 2, I was quite impressed. I think they've really got the hardware down. It sounds like it's a lot more responsive now, and I think it's a lot nicer product. But yeah, I can actually see a reason for it, and I can see it's got its own little niche now. And I think it's quite a good product. I haven't used it, but I mean, just looking at the the videos and the reviews of it, I think it's actually reached its goal. I think it's where it should be.
I've had a demonstration. I've actually had two demonstrations with the latest Orcam because I was so interested in having one. And I've used my friend's first Orcam in the past, tried it out, and I didn't think much of it. Not for what I wanted in terms of reading text, reading screens, menus, things like that, recognizing people in the street, those kinds of things. However, with the second one, what a difference. I mean, it's smaller, it's lighter, it's more portable, it's better battery life, it's easier to use, it's more accurate, it's faster. The speed of it is just unbelievable. And I used it to go and look. Well, I used a demonstration at home first, and I thought it's all very well and good. It works here, staring at this display magazine that I've been brought from the company. But then went out and about with it and read departure boards at train stations, and it really could be life-changing. I'm definitely interested in getting one, but obviously, big investment needs a lot of thought about it.
Yeah, and I hate to become all Stephen Scottish about it, but, you know,
oh, dear.
The money is a thing, you know, and
it's
a lot of cash to put on something. But again, you know, if you can get funding for it, if you get it through, I mean, I don't know if you can get it through Access to Work, but maybe that's a thing, then maybe it's worth doing that. But yeah, this technology, I think, I have to be totally honest, I think if Aira makes an appearance in the UK, I think that might supersede it. But again, it depends what you want. You know, if you want something to be completely independent and it's not something that you have a human being beside you, effectively, which is what Aira does. It's the glasses with the camera and then has a live agent in your ear who can see through your camera. You might not want that. But you might think to yourself, that might be a less suitable solution. So therefore, you might think this is better having the robot essentially doing it for you. I don't know. I just think that it's a lot of money. It's a big consideration. But then I suppose anything related to us and specialist technology is expensive. And that's the way it is. What else can you do? I just wanted to bring up one thing, though, because just sort of picking up on something Gordon said as well about using these kind of specialist apps. Be My Eyes, I have to say, is my favourite app. Because, you know, seeing AI is hit and miss. But Be My Eyes, I was buying a card for my wife for her anniversary. And the last time I bought her a birthday card, I bought her an anniversary card. Because the woman in the shop, I said, oh, it's her birthday. And for some reason, she gave me an anniversary card, which I didn't notice. But her mum did. And oh, the laughter. But the end result was I wasn't really happy with that, and I thought I want to do this more independently. So I got Be My Eyes out, standing there with the phone, the card a distance away. I think everyone in the shop thought I was insane. But do you know what? It was great. The person was able to read the full card to me, all the words. I think the poor woman wanted to vomit, but she did it with gusto, and it was really nice. And it really felt very, it was a very independent thing, and it was nice to do. So I would always stand up for Be My Eyes, and all the wonderful people in this country and around the world who volunteer for it, I thank you for doing it, because it means a lot. Right, that's our emails. Chris, thank you so much for coming in.
Very welcome. Thank you very much, Sean. Thank you, Lydia.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
And we shall return in a moment, guys. But first, we are going to turn to our Android Anorak, as I like to call him. He's Riz, and he's here with some tips for you and your Android phone.
Hello, everyone. This is Riz, Tech Talk's Android correspondent. I'm here today to talk a little bit about the stock phone app that comes on most Android phones. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a look and see how to perform basic functions, how to make a call, how to dial a number, even how to add contacts. So, let's get started. I'm running Android Oreo, that's Android version 8. I'm running TalkBack version 6.1 on a Pixel phone. I'm also running the stock phone app that comes on the Pixel. Other people may have different experiences. Things may look a little bit different to you, and things may function a little bit different, but there isn't a lot of difference, I don't think. So let's get into the basics. So I've got my phone here. Right now, I'm on my home screen.
Home screen 1 of 1.
Now, my phone app is located...
Phone. Pixel launcher.
Right Aquaman. Here.
Phone.
So I'm going to tap that.
Phone. Showing items 1 to 6 of 295.
Okie dokie. Now, most Android apps nowadays, what they have is they have what's called a burger menu, and that tends to be in the top left-hand corner.
Search contacts and places.
This one actually doesn't have one, but this does have the more options button in the top right-hand corner.
More options button.
Okay, now you'll just notice that a lot of apps do have the burger menu button, and they do have the more options button in the top left and top right, respectively.
Search contacts and places.
Now, that's my top left-hand corner.
Start voice search button.
And then across from that is a start voice search.
Holder.
Oops.
Start voice search button. More options button.
Then there's a more options.
Speed dial tab.
Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about tabs. Just under those three buttons, there are a number of tabs. We've got a speed dial tab.
Call history tab.
We've got a call history tab.
Contacts tab.
And we've got a contacts tab. Typically, what a person, a non-TalkBack user would do with one finger, they would swipe left or right to go to the various tabs. Now, if you're running TalkBack, you have to do that with two fingers. For instance, if I want to go to the speed dial tab, I will swipe to the right.
Speed dial tab. Call history tab.
We've got to the call history.
Contacts tab.
You can also tap on the tabs at the top of the screen.
Speed dial tab. Page 1 of 3.
And there you go. It tells you where you are. It tells you you're on page 1 of 3. The phone app is very, very simple. You have the speed dial tab where the people you contact the most will show up. What I'm doing is I'm moving around the screen with my finger, and as I'm coming across the names, it's telling me what my contacts are, my recent ones.
John, column 2. Aisha, row 3. Mum, row 2. John, Ozzy, row 1.
So those are my current contacts that I've been calling most recently. Now, there is also, in the bottom center...
Aisha, keypad button, out of grid.
The keypad. Now, if you tap that...
Selected, edit box, phone keypad.
That's how you bring up the phone keypad. Then you can dial a number.
8T, 0, plus, 0. Showing and items 1 to 13 of 13.
How this is done is by moving your finger around 5 the screen...
JKL, 2, ABC, 2. Showing items 1 to 3 of 3.
And releasing your finger. And what it does is, I know there's a lot of talking there. It does give you a lot of information. As you move around the numbers.
4, GA, 5, JK, 2, selected, O2, edit box.
Now that's my edit box just above the keypad, which is in the bottom half of the screen.
2, ABC.
And I've just done 0, 2 so
5,
far.
5, JK, 6, MNO, 6.
So if I go back up again.
Selected, 026, edit box.
Now the edit box is saying 026 because those are the numbers I typed. Now we can also.
Backspace button, 6 deleted.
We can also delete a number if we think, I've dialed the wrong number. We can easily backspace.
Backspace button, 2 deleted.
And the backspace button.
0 deleted, 3,
is located just above the 3.
Backspace button, disabled.
So that's a keypad, which takes up the bottom half of the screen. Now, let's see what else we've got on the screen.
List.
Now, here at the top part of the screen, we have a list. So if you start dialing a number...
1, 0, 1, 1. Showing items 1 to 6 of 6.
Okay, so now it's come up with numbers that start with 0, 1 in this list at the top.
Little Harwood Health Center, John, 01254, edit box, out of list.
And then below that, there you go, you see there's your edit box with the numbers you've typed, and then below that is your keypad. That's how you actually dial the number. Now, once you're done dialing, you press the
zero plus dial button,
the dial button, which is just below the zero. Double tap that, and there you go. You've got your call being made there.
Keypad button.
Now, of course, most people don't actually do that anymore. Most people add contacts and then dial them that way. So, in your speed dial section, where
John,
we were before,
column two, in grid, two rows.
Now, if I wanted to ring my friend John here, all I would do is to tap that John contact there. And what it would do, it would dial him, and of course, it would stop ringing. Let's say we wanted to add a contact. How do we do that? If we go back to the top, we have our
selected speed dial tab.
Speed dial tab, but we don't want to go there. Now let's go to our contacts.
Contacts tab, page 3 of 3.
Okay. So now we're here at our contacts.
Create new contact in list 21 items.
Right at the top, it says create new contact.
Aisha.
Then it starts with our list of contacts. The top of the screen is still exactly the same as
speed
it was before.
Speed dial tab. Search contacts and places.
Search contacts and places is still there.
Start voice search button.
Start voice search is still there.
More options button.
Start more options is still there. Then you've got your tab stripper up below those top buttons. And then
create new contact.
Then we've got this create new contact. Now I'm going to do that just very quickly.
Editing. First name. Edit box.
Okay.
Create contact.
So what it does is it opens up your new, the contacts screen. I hope you'll excuse me if I create a contact called Riz, which I'm going to do now.
Capital R, I, Z.
Okay, so with Android, you tend to have to do for typing is you put your finger on the screen and you move around.
Y-R-O-J-A-G.
Well, as soon as you want to type in that letter, you just release your finger. And once you get good at it, it's actually not so bad at all. Now, I've entered Riz. In the bottom right-hand corner, there's a next button.
Next. Showing English, UK, PC, keyboard. Editing, surname, edit box.
Okay, so I'll type in my surname here.
Capital K, G, H, H, A, B, N, N.
So, that's Khan.
Delete, shift, next. Showing English, UK, PC, keyboard. Editing, company, edit box.
And it keeps going on and on, goes down the list of options. You can also, if you go to touch the top part of your screen.
Saving to risfigure4 at googlemail.com.
That's where it will save your contacts. In other words, it'll save it to my Google account.
Riz, edit box, first name.
Then we've got my first name.
On, edit, show more name fields.
Then you've got an option to show more fields if you need
editing,
to.
Editing, company, edit box.
Then, of course, your company.
Phone, edit box.
Now, here is where you enter your phone number. And then
save more options button.
In the top corner, you've got more options. And then you've got
save button.
And then you've got a save button. So if you wanted to save the contact, I don't.
Your changes have not been saved. Discard button.
So I can discard.
Save button.
Or I could save. And I'm going to discard. Because I know what my number is and I don't need to call myself, of course. What else can we do? Well, we can always
Anisa in list.
Let's go into a contact.
Anisa, Aisha, and Akila.
Now, my niece here, I think, has changed her
contacts
number. If you go into your contact from the contacts tab, you get this.
Akila.
That's her name.
Call in list.
Then you get the option to call.
Text. Invite to duo.
You can invite to duo. What we can do.
More options. Pop up with view linked contacts. Add to label. Delete.
Now what I can do is by tapping the more options button, I can delete this contact. And because she hasn't got this number anymore.
Alert delete this contact. Delete. Akila will delete button. Akila deleted. Phone.
And there you go. We've got a contact deleted. So we can add contacts. We can delete contacts. We can make calls. All the basic things that you
more options button
want to be able to do.
Call history tab.
Now the call history tab is exactly as it says. As calls come in and go out, it'll tell you.
Call 2012, two calls, call to Aussie, mobile, 2 days ago.
Okay, so those are calls I made 2 days ago to my sister.
Quick contact for Aussie, but call Aussie, button.
Now you've got a quick contact button, which gives you basic information about the contact, and you can text them from there, or you can call them from there. And then you've got a
quick call Aussie, button, call to Aussie.
And then you can call the contact from this screen as well. Essentially, that's it, really.
Home screen, one of one.
One thing I haven't really been able to demonstrate, unfortunately, is how you answer calls and hang up calls, but I can tell you that how that is done. In later versions of Android, I do believe, if memory serves, it's from 6 and above, what you do is you put two fingers on the screen near the bottom and you slide up. That answers your call. To hang up, you press the power button and that hangs up. Now, the power button to hang up calls has to be set in the accessibility options. That only works on stock Android. Like I said, with Android, you get variants. That's why I'm not going to go into too much detail with how you make certain changes, because there is a lot of difference. But I think this gives you a rough idea and a basic idea of how Android works and how actually easy it is to do anything you need to do. So I hope this has been helpful, and I hope it's helped and made things clearer for some people. I'll speak to you again soon. Bye for now.
Well, thank you, Riz, and we have lots more coming from Riz. He's signed up as a volunteer with us, which doesn't really mean anything. It just means he's going to come around a bit, which is great. He's going to be joining us to talk all things Android, and he's looking for your questions. If you have a question about Android, maybe you're thinking of switching to Android, maybe you have an Android phone you've got an issue with, you know, we've always said we'd love to get someone on who can sort of give advice to anyone who's got Android. You know, Riz is your guy. So Riz is going to be coming on the show in the next couple of weeks, and he'll be on regularly after that. So if you've got a question for Riz, get in touch. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Now, Sean and Lydia are still with us for the last few moments, and well, guys, it's no great surprise that we end on a whine. Oh, another one. Oh,
there it goes.
Another glass. Another glass. I know. Someone better have a word with me at the end of this. Well, Nadia Bashu has been in touch, and she said, I've never actually been able to record and send something before, but I had a go. So, you know what? Well done to you, Nadia. Great that you did this. She sent in her whine of the week.
Hi guys, thought I'd send in my whine of the week. Well, actually there's two of them. First of all is TV websites that let you watch catch-up TV online. I don't use them that much because I don't actually watch TV that much, but it's nice to be able to watch something online if you happen to have missed it. And I tried that with UK TV Play last week, which covers some of the Freeview channels. And, well, it was pretty much a no-go because I was able to find the episode I wanted to watch, but when I clicked on the link, nothing happened. There was no play button, or at least none that Jaws could find. So I had to ask my dad to do it for me, which completely defeated the object. And I found that actually a lot of websites like ITV, Channel 4, their websites really are inaccessible. I don't know what the apps are like, but the websites are bad. And I don't subscribe to anything like Netflix or Amazon because, as I say, I don't watch enough TV to justify it. So all these free services that let you watch on-demand TV, and I can't use any of them. So the next whine is to do with Lady A. I can't say her name because I've got one right next to me. And that is that quite often when you're doing a skill, and you can go so far, and then it says that you need to use the app to finish setting it up. Well, that's all very well, but I actually find the app really inaccessible. In fact, I think all Amazon apps are inaccessible. I had to give up on the Audible app recently as well. And I kind of think it defeats the object. I'm not sure I see the point in having voice technology when if you can't use your voice for everything. I get really annoyed when you get directed to the app. Anyway, those are my whines, so hopefully they're valid. And thanks for giving me the chance to vent. So, speak to you soon, guys.
Thank you, Nadia, for sending in your whines of the week.
Completely legitimate whines. Completely legitimate.
No, I totally agree. And the audio quality was fantastic. Great recording.
I would like to say, actually, because I did comment on that by email with Nadia, and she said she was using the Synaptic phone to do that. So everything you've ever said bad about a Synaptic phone, Sean.
Oh, no. Now
yeah,
I feel
exactly.
Terrible. it was really good. Really clear. Well done.
The only thing I would say is about your comment, Nadia, about the Amazon apps. I actually recently And I do feel it's a bit of an whole thing's a bit of an experience and a journey learning these different apps. But I've found that the Amazon app, actually, the shopping app, is very good. I haven't really had any issues I can understand with the Audible app, unless I'm missing something, but I think I've generally gotten okay with that. And the Alexa app, I know at the beginning it wasn't perfect, but improvements have been made.
Still isn't.
No?
No. Everyone says that, and I've never seen really? Any improvements. It's terrible. Yeah. Look, it is usable, but she's absolutely right. The focus jumps around. Sometimes the items don't activate when you double tap on them. It's a pain. But yes, I know it's not great, but when it works, you can get to it and you can finish the setup. And you're absolutely right. Why would you? You know, it's a voice platform. Having to do that sort of takes you out of it and is a pain. But that is the way. Also, you can, if you have got access to a PC, you can go to the website and try doing it through there with JAWS or NVDA, whatever your screen reader is. And that can be a lot easier than trying to do it through the app.
Which they do say is easy.
Yeah, yeah. I've done it a few times and, you know, you can tab around and it is easier. It depends on your screen reader. I haven't used JAWS with it, so I don't want to say. And also depends on what browser you're using, Chrome, Firefox, etc. But definitely worth a try. And that is, I'll spell it, alexa.amazon.co.uk.
Final word, Lydia? Any thoughts?
Completely the same in agreement about the catch-up TV websites. But as we know, it's an ongoing problem. We need to rally together, I think, and sort out.
Yeah, I agree.
Everyone's having the same problems, aren't they?
Guys, our time is up. But thank you so much for being with me again. We get through so many emails, which is fantastic. Keep them coming in, though. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. If you want to send us some audio as well, we'd love you to do that as well. Sean and Lydia, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for having me.
And don't forget our podcast. You'll find that on iTunes and Audioboom. Search for RNIB Tech Talk.